Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Eric. He's back.
Hey, I'm back. I don't know where I went, but I'm here.
Well, you know, because you haven't been on like the last couple, so you're back now. And I have with me Carl. Woo, he's back.
What's happening, Kat? I did that wrong. I don't know. I've always been around. I haven't been anywhere. That's the big deal. Oh, I'm messing with Big E. Welcome back, Eric. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Thanks.
Pep it up. Okay, so I've been just graced with some news that has brought down Twitter. I say fail well. Eric, talk about that news. Talk about it.
Well, apparently in real time, at the time this is being recorded, about 3 hours ago, it broke on Twitter through various outlets that the director of the last how many Harry Potter films since Order of the Phoenix till the end of the Harry Potter series, I believe Peter Yates, some Potter fan, slay me if I'm getting his name wrong.
Monaco.
But apparently he's going to, direct a Doctor Who motion picture movie. Yeah, but don't get too excited.
Why not?
Because part of the reason why Twitter's been imploding from Whovians out there is because there's just like a brief statement from him, Yates, about this. And it looks kind of like, it's kind of like the BSG movie. Like, this is not going to be canonical with the series.
Crap. That's not good.
So Whovians are all... So this is going to be a, you know...
This is going to be like that second Freddy Krueger movie that nobody knew what was going on with it. Okay.
Inspector Spacetime!
Nice.
Oh my goodness. God, I love that. Well, let's talk about Community. Oh, God.
What do Whovians think about Community in their Inspector Space Time?
Well, I know at Chicago TARDIS, which is the other big Doctor Who convention in North America in Chicago on Thanksgiving Day, I know one of the panels is going to be Inspector Space Time. So it's highly, highly embraced by the Who community.
And they just did a Halloween episode where they was dressed up as Inspector Spacetime, Abed and Troy. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's been like an Inspector Spacetime in almost every episode this season. Some of them are very small, hard to catch, but been a lot of that going on.
Today we're going to talk about Terra Nova and Fringe, but I do want to, you know, put in a little bit of Community because I'm going to, you know, toot my own horn. I introduced Community to Carl.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
How you liking it?
Oh, it is insane. It is utterly insane. I told you, when you try to explain to people what Community is, you sound like a crazy person. They sit around this table and there's like a crazy old guy. And someone's living in like the vents. There's a monkey that steals pins. There's nothing that you can say that makes you sound like a sane person when you're trying to explain the joy that is Community. But yes, I have very much enjoyed it. And this new season, they have not disappointed. You know how sometimes they come back after a season, and you're like, whoa, wait, what the heck are they doing? Now, still fresh, still insane. Yeah. It's just crazy. Oh man, that the D&D one with the dice. Come on, people.
Oh, that was some man. Insane that was so
stuff.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's by far one of my favorites.
Yeah.
No, did you guys watch the most recent one with Annie's move? Yeah. And did you follow along with the tweets in real time on Twitter?
I saw it a day later.
Yeah.
I've been out of sync with the live stuff, so I know I'm only getting half the Community experience by not being
participating.
But what I missed? What I missed? What was
no,
going
well,
on?
I knew there was at least two fictional Twitter accounts, like, but associated with the series. I didn't realize there was actually one for all the key characters and a couple side characters. Well, they all have like their official fictional Twitter feeds. Mm-hmm. And while they were doing that episode, like whenever they would mention like, oh, did you just tweet that? I can't believe you tweeted that, blah, blah, blah. Like their fictional counterpart Twitter accounts were like tweeting in real time.
Nice. Aired
on the East Coast and Central time zone. And so I was like looking back at the tweets and just like Wing says to the dean, you know, I can't believe you tweeted that. And you, if you go to the dean's Twitter account, he, you know, he tweeted.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know too, even if you go back to like first, second season, there's the one episode way back when Troy has that Twitter account, what things old man says or whatever.
Yeah.
He's,
all his tweets, you can go back to the Twitter feed, like back to a year ago, and there's all the fake Troy tweets of all the quotes he did of Pierce. They're still there. So they were doing it back then.
You see, masters of the social media. I mean, that is really integrating with the fan base right there. That's beautiful. That's, you know, as opposed to, you know, some sites that are merely tune in next week for an exciting episode where, no, you are tweeting real time with the characters. That's, and you know what I'm waiting for. You know what I'm very, very much excited about. The sequel to the Dice episode where it's like the evil counterparts come over. You know it's coming.
Oh, yeah, because that is like that is the second Chaos Theory episode, so I guess they'll probably do a third or whatever.
I really don't want them to do another paintball because I kind of, you know, they like overdid the paintball with the last paintball.
The first part of that two-parter I loved. The second part, it was such a disappointment.
Yeah, it was like, but it's just like, okay, no more paintball. I love it, but I don't want to see it anymore. Look, but I love it at the same time.
They got so many layers of insanity. Why go back to paintball? Really? I mean, you know, they could go in so many other directions.
Yeah,
so.
But they're going to have to, they always do that kind of kooky, like they did the claymation stop motion episode. Yeah,
that was great.
But I remember they talked about that in the DVD special features. Like that was like that's because they did. I can't remember what they did in the first season. That was like the weird kooky episode.
The blanket fort, was that first season or was that second season?
No, that was second. But I mean, one that was, I don't remember what it was, but something, you know, off the rails. I don't know if it was a musical or, but they've done that. No, I don't know. But the claymation was the experimental one, and so they'll have to come up with something else, some other type of animation, or who knows what. For, you know, to continue that trend.
Mm. Well, I'll put the Twitter accounts and stuff like that in the show notes, so you won't have to go digging for it if you're listening to this now. Yay me.
Good.
Yeah. Now let's talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is we're going to start off with French or Terra Nova. What do you want, guys?
Let's do Terra Nova first.
Okay. Terra Nova it is. Carl, you seem enthusiastic about getting Terra Nova. What's up with you and Terra Nova?
That is not exactly enthusiasm. It's kind of wanting to get it out of the way is what that was.
Interesting.
Listen, I have some beefs with Terra Nova. First of all, after the pilot, remember what I said about how, you know, they blew their budget on the first episode on the pilot, and then for the rest of the episodes we're going to be suffering on Planet Canada? Remember that kind of?
Yeah.
How are you going to make the first episode after the pilot Birdemic? Okay? Seriously, I mean, you've gone, what is it, millions of years back in time. You got dinosaurs all around you. You got your own little base, all the team set up, and the birds is what you're bringing us for the first episode.
They were reptilian birds that flew, so they were...
That sucked. Blah. All right? That just sucked. I was like, come on.
I liked it because it reminded me of first season.
Birdemic?
Excuse me. Second season, Deep Space Nine, when they had, like, ridiculous stuff happening with the space station, and they had to figure out because they were moving into a Cardassian space and they didn't know that much about it.
There were no space birds.
Carl.
No.
I'm not talking about space birds. I'm just talking about how you move to a new place and you have to adjust to it. And it felt like Deep Space Nine that way. And I kind of enjoyed it because we're getting to know the place. You know, there was the bird mating and it was cute.
Wasn't it like the magma-looking vomit creature from Star Trek Original Series? where they're mining into like its habitat.
The Horda.
Yeah, exactly. And Spock has to like mind meld with the.
Now, I don't know how that got in there, but I enjoy that far more than the birds. I'll say that. Cat, I mean, come on. Okay, see, here's what I'm saying. I just want something innovative. It is the second episode of a brand new series. Why would you give me the same old vanilla stuff? Okay, so my first beef is that episode. All right, to just jump in with that. Remember what we were talking about?
Well, but just think if you're on a real place, something like that could possibly happen if you move back in time to another Earth.
Well, and you know what else could go wrong early on? Bad plumbing. Plumbing could go wrong. I don't want to see an episode on that.
Well, you know,
I want to see. Okay, well,
what it really, really reminds me of, actually, or especially when we were like 2-3 episodes into Terra Nova, it reminds me of when SGU started off. It's the same basic idea, which is again kind of like DS9. When they first got to the ship in SGU, and again they had like the big, let's spend all the money on the 2-hour premiere with all the action and everything, and then
there was action.
Yeah, and then we take it down, many notches, and we're dealing with all the trying to make the ship work. Well, again, they did it with Atlantis too, and working out all the kinks and adapting the technology.
How dare you, sir? How dare you compare? Islands of Atlantis and SGU. I have held my silence long enough. Just that alone. I was trying to hold that in, and then it's trying to tie that in. You're killing me, man. You are killing me. All right. No. First of all, if there was any technology of interest at all with Terra Nova's pilots, this chasing down birds, No, there is not the same thing.
Where I was going with SGU was that they had a lot of boring episodes initially in the original first season of that show. The arc didn't start kicking in until way later. What, second half season one? The alien arc.
I blacked out a little bit there. What are we talking about? SGU.
The first ten episodes were your random space opera episode of the week, rehash of Next Generation or Star Trek or Twilight Zone, whatever.
He said action with the pilot. I'm still twitching. All right, go on.
There was explosions. There was tapping.
All right, go on. All right. All right. So if they had done something similar in the episode after the pilot, I would have loved to have seen them working around the technology of the base or something going wrong with it. There's been an episode, where they had the power, blacking out. Now, that would have been a good episode to follow the pilot, because the idea is, I mean, I'm stepping out of the, canon of the series and all that. The idea is to keep people watching the show, right?
Right.
So you want to build sort of like a crescendo, or you want to make each episode better and better than the previous one. Okay, here we go, Cat, I'm a Dragon. One more new series that we probably ought to start talking about. But look at Grimm, all right? Oh. Grimm, episode after episode of Grimm, has built one on top of the other. Each one has gotten more and more exciting. Each one's gotten better and better, all right? Now, I'm sitting here watching and trying to hang in there with Terra Nova, and they went immediately to, trouble with family ties. We got some people online who have already compared it to what Family Ties meets Barney, that kind of thing.
That was Stephanie, yeah.
Kroger nailed it. But the point is, I want to know more about the technology. I want to know more about the base. I want to know more about why they're there. All those fabulous, potential conspiracies that they were talking about in the pilot. The first 2-3 episodes, we don't get back to any of that. So we're dealing with the relationships of the teenagers. We got families. We got ex-boyfriends coming back through time. I mean, all of this stuff all of the B storylines that could make it just like any other show that we've seen is what they ran with first. And all of the stuff that could make this a truly unique series, all that taking advantage of the stuff that makes Terra Nova different than other things that we've seen, they've barely even touched on. And people are going to stop watching before they can get around to, assuming they will, before they can get around to start bringing out the things that make the series unique. And I mean, it's a common problem that we've seen with a lot of science fiction. And I'm trying to figure out what's going through their minds. Are they trying to say, we want to make this approachable to everyone first before we introduce the stuff that makes it really, you know, unique in sci-fi? Or are they just going to, you know, hang around like Sarah Connor Chronicles on the couch, you know, on the sofa when we've gone back in time, there are androids running around, but we're going to sit in the living room talking about our feelings. That's what we're going to do with our new series. So, I mean, but we've seen this so many times before. Why do this?
Okay, so you got it out about the second episode. What about the other ones?
Well,
like you cite the one that you know, they had the blackout.
That's the most recent one, right? That's the most recent.
Yeah,
one.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably the one that I like the best. Is the most recent one with the blackout, because you know, again, the things that were occurring in that episode. You got meteors coming in, which, by the way, again, remember setting up a base on Earth before the dinosaurs got taken out.
That's parallel Earth. It might not happen.
Okay. So. You know, the meteors, stampeding dinosaurs, getting locked in a basement with a heating up supercomputer. Bam! That's something we haven't seen before. All right, that's unique. But what episode is this? We're on like 4 now, and so are you kidding me? 7? Holy crap! I've been hanging with this for 7 episodes now.
You're kind of cranky,
man. I've been long hanging in there. But now if I think back to some of the previous episodes, there is the tiny B plot of what was in the box. All right. A MacGuffin. They have a physical MacGuffin in the episode where it's like, we're not even going to try to do anything. We got a box that no one knows what's in it, and we're going to string that out across a couple of episodes.
But we saw what was in it. It was a bunch of equations and the son being cryptic, and obviously he's trying to get back at his father for some reason. And now the others, I guess, if you want to call it, Sixers, I'm sorry, they are, you know, being all mysterious and they're upset and we don't know why. I mean, it's just a show. You watch some popcorn, you turn your brain off. It's way more entertaining than SGU.
Well, that's true.
Okay. And so, I mean.
Not a ringing endorsement, though. Eric, come on, man. Help me out.
I know, yeah, come on. What do you think?
No, actually, it's weird because, like a little Twitter discussion I was having with Airlock Alpha, and apparently, you know, Grimm and Once Upon a Time are like the starlit shows of the moment, as far as genre programming on network television goes. And neither one of those shows really do it for me. Actually, of the rookie shows, the brand new shows this year, Terra Nova is the one I like the most. I don't love it, but it's the easiest for me to watch of the brand new crop of genre shows right now. And I don't think it's amazing, but it just, I guess I'm okay with media. Cause I know I've read a lot of articles on sci-fi blogs lately talking about how there's no space opera currently airing on any network, but Terra Nova really is. I mean, I realize it's not technically in space or anything like that, but because it's using all those types of space opera stories that we've all seen before.
Yep.
It more or less is, and I guess I can consume that, I guess, even if it's not like, you know, gourmet. It's like I'm just used to that. It's my sci-fi ramen. I can just it can sustain me. It's not like, you know, you wouldn't cook that for your family, but it keeps me alive.
You don't serve it when company comes by. You know, it's just like, hey, it's what goes in the microwave.
Yeah, so it works. I just add water, and it's what I'm used to. You know,
I can eat it in the dorm. You know, it's
you know.
I think it's a pretty decent show. It's watchable. It's very pretty. You know, I love a pretty show. I like Stephen Lang and what he does. He's the guy from Avatar, like toned down just a little bit every week. And I don't mind that. I don't mind it at all. I think the second episode, I think why I liked it is because I think the father took his shirt off or something. So that, you know, I'm okay with what's going on.
I have to say, I'm not really familiar with that actor, but he does remind me of the Colonel from SGU all the time. The actor, I mean.
Yeah.
I can't ever stop thinking that. So they're almost one and the same to me.
Their family dynamic kind of is weird to me. They don't really seem like a family. They seem like foreign. They just seem...
Actually, it's just the mother who throws me off.
It's the dad that throws me off.
Oh, that's
really?
That's yeah. Well, dad's been away, so you know that was part of the problem.
Nah, it's just a chemistry issue, and see, Eric thinks it's her, and I think it's him. And I
think it's her accent that throws me off.
Well, no, that's not it.
Well, I'm just saying for me, because everyone else is just so regular American, whatever, bland American. And
oh, yeah, that is true.
Comes in with her swanky accent.
okay.
Well, I mean, I know these are not good reasons to like the show. I'm just saying, I like it. I enjoy it. It's a vacation. It's, it's weird that I haven't seen on TV before. It's freaking dinosaurs that don't look all that bad to me.
Yeah, I'm glad remember from the pilot, there was actually some, like, Muppetry going on where I was like, come on, I can see the dude's hand behind the head. So they've moved away from the physical rubber dinosaurs and gone with purely the CG ones, which was a good move for them. But the stuff that you guys are talking about, is that it? Really?
No. I know. I think they're doing what... I was saying this earlier. I think they're doing what many series do, many genre series especially, in their initial outings, just like Fringe did in season one and SG and all these other shows. They're trying to start off with the more episodic stories, and again, they're just rehashing kind of like scripts that have probably been sitting on the shelf already for, you know, these are probably scripts that were written generically for, you know, sci-fi show X. And they probably just brought those out.
I want to see that.
That's what it really feels like. I'm telling you.
And that's how I mean,
how long till we get a Groundhog's Day?
And I think they're just kind of testing the water to get find their footing. And I expect, assuming the series progresses, you know, this full season, and let's say it has another, I think like Fringe and all those other shows, it's going to start getting arc heavy. Because I see tons of potential there, you know. If they want to go that way, and I think they will at some point if they find their comfort zone. So I, you know.
Okay, now I agree with you that there's a lot of potential there. I could see that in the pilot episode. I also agree, you know, the production value is great. I mean, it is a pretty show to watch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm looking at it and it's like, you know, it's not Planet Canada, it's like they're on Planet Hawaii, actually. It's just
there
it's something
Australia,
about
or New Zealand.
Oh, well, no wonder it's so beautiful. But but there's I don't know, I totally agree that it feels like all of the stories are something that they could have just swapped out of some other series and just, you know, generically put it in there. But I think that's selling the series short. I think they're missing out on taking advantage of, because I agree, Kat, there's nothing else. There's never been anything quite like Terra Nova. I mean, but, you know, kind of maybe Earth 2 if you want to stretch it. Maybe Earth 2, but really, other than that, there hasn't been anything else quite like it on TV. And so they ought to be taking advantage of what makes it different. You know, I just want to see. Everything seems just a little too cute, a little too, you know, generic, a little too, I don't know. You know, I was so hoping that there wasn't going to be like an animated pet dinosaur running around the house now.
Oh,
remember
God.
The episode, you know, waiting for the egg to hatch, and oh, they've got to perform surgery on it, and now, you know, like
it
a
was
Hannah,
cute. Come
a
on.
Hanna-Barbera cartoon, we've got a pet dinosaur loose in the house now with the kids. No, come on. So I was afraid that's what they were going to do. I wouldn't put it past them. You know, we haven't seen what happened to that thing. So, but yeah, it just kind of feels a little generic right now. I hope they hurry up and do something.
No, it's going to get canceled before that. I just feel it.
Well,
No. I feel like there's going to be a season two almost for sure. And especially if they do cancel Fringe after this year. You know, this is going to have to be their little quasi-replacement, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Carl, what do you like any of the TV shows out right now?
Yeah, like a ton of them.
He mentioned Grimm.
Yeah. Oh man, Grimm is probably my favorite new show.
Really, I'm so bored with Grimm. But okay, we're gonna do Grimm next week.
Okay, all right.
Grimm next week because
I like that one a lot.
Maybe we'll get into it. But so you like Grimm and any long running? I know they all get canceled, but what else? Because I'm trying to figure out what you're looking for that's gonna make you happy because you just these expectations you have.
Expectations, something new.
Fringe
is my favorite show out right now.
Okay, really. That's acceptable.
That's acceptable. Nothing. The reason it's my favorite is because you turn on Fringe, you don't know what the heck is going to happen. Seriously, you have no idea what is going to happen, and that's what I expect from a sci-fi show. If I'm watching, if I'm watching a mystery, that's one thing. But I want to see something unique and mind-bending and different with each episode. And if you take me a million years back in the past, you got dinosaurs running around, a base that you've built up of generations of folks that have gone back in time. I don't want to see, Little House on the Prairie. I want to see something new. So that's my beef. That's my crazy request about Terra Nova.
All right, I guess that's fair enough. Any last thoughts, Eric?
Nah, I think it'll get better, and I think almost for sure it'll have a season 2, and we'll see where it goes.
All right, since we kind of tipped into Fringe, let's talk about it. What do we think about the season with Peter not being a stranger to everyone? I don't know, it feels like to me they took the series a step. It's interesting and good what they're doing, but I miss the Peter Olivia romance.
I miss Peter the episodes that he wasn't there. I mean, I really felt it. As much as I do love Fringe and I enjoyed every episode of this new season, it felt kind of like the episodes of the Dukes of Hazzard when folks were on strike and they swapped out the other cousins in there. And you're like, who are these people? Who's that guy?
I didn't watch it long enough to know that happened.
Well, that's when I stopped watching. But, so there was this weird feeling where I'm watching it. I know it's the show that I like, but something was missing. And it was really shocking that Peter was such a major linchpin to this, because he's not even my favorite character on Fringe. Yeah. I love Walter, but I agree with you. The Olivia Peter dynamic is, the will they won't they was kind of bugging me a little bit, but it was something that was really defining the show of late. So when he was gone, and they brought in
Lincoln.
Is that his name? Yeah. Lincoln. When they brought Lincoln in, that felt a little odd.
It felt like eating toast with no butter on it. I just did not want him. I didn't want him. I wanted my Peter back, and I wanted more gross stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did slack off of the gross for a while.
And you can eat dinner and watch Fringe now.
I was
like
shocked
it.
Because, I had stopped eating when Fringe came on, and then these episodes were like, oh man, I guess everything is fine, and then they got me again. But still, when he was gone, the episodes that they had felt like they were going back to season 1, almost 2, where each episode felt like it was standing on its own, and other than the reflection of Peter or whatever they did with him, I felt like it was missing an arc. And what was really kind of painful about it is, not only were we as the viewer aware that Peter wasn't there, we're also aware of the parallel universes. We know all of this other stuff that's gone wrong. We know about the Watchers and what they're up to. And to not address that in two, 3 episodes, it was kind of, was gnawing at me. And I was like, man, I wanted to get on with it to start to bring the elements back in there. I don't know if it was just that Peter wasn't there or if it was that all of the other pieces of the show that I like seemed to be put on hold for those couple episodes. That kind of bugged me. But like I said, despite that, so I put all of that aside, and so now I was watching Fringe again like it was first season, like it was, each episode was by itself. I put aside all the Watchers and all the other arcs that I knew, and it was back to, good old Neo X-Files Fringe. Mm-hmm. Where we were just doing one case at a time and seeing things, and I'm trying to pay attention, because even though they felt
you know, a bottle. You know, they felt like bottle shows. This is Fringe. So you got to pay attention to the little things on the edge because you have a feeling that they're going to come back or that they're going to be significant at some point later on. And so I was doing that. My you know, my high-res recorders were on, even though they felt like bottle shows, because like, okay, is there something here I'm going to miss? Is there something here that's going to tie in? Is there some other piece here that's connecting with the series that I know is going to come back? But so that was it. You know, that's kind of how I felt about these episodes. And I was very happy when Peter came back and, you know, things started to recoalesce. But
I was happy when he's come back. But I thought that maybe we'd have a quick fix and everybody would, you know, remember him again. But now he's the odd man out. Nobody gets him. Walter is treating him like crap. It's a little painful, but it's interesting at the same time because it answers the question, like, what would happen if I didn't exist or nobody remembered me? Yeah. What? How does that work? What else can we do with this universe? So they're really clever, and I like that they take risks with the show like this, even though it might get canceled. But still, it's kind of innovative. Eric?
Well, I don't even know what to say because, I don't know. Carl basically said everything that I would want to say.
Oh, sorry, man.
I basically feel the same way. You know, so just like ditto, 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 ditto. Wow. I'm kind of like left in a vacuum now.
Sorry.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I feel exactly the same way about the, you know, individual stories, and it's really kind of taking it down because I have to say, series three. Of all the series of Fringe that there have been, was the one where I was really into each week, and when it was for me, it was really popping. And you know, oh, so it's Red Universe time, and oh, we're back to Blue, and it was
80s and
that too.
Black and white, and
it was really compelling for me in season three, especially. And this is definitely really taking it down an ambient, you know. It really is. And
and trust me, people, you don't want to see Eric on ambient. That is not.
I still like it. It's still my favorite show right now on network television anyway. And but it definitely is lacking it. And this is they are being a rather brave to do this now. But I also think this is kind of a horrible time to be messing around like this when your show is kind of teetering on the precipice ratings wise. And
I don't think there's any teetering. I think that they said you're only getting one more season. I don't think that's up for debate or discussion. Well, or anything. I think Fox said, you got one more. Do what you want.
I don't even. I mean, is it for certain that there's going to be one more? Because it seems to me like.
No, I think this is the last one. I think.
Oh, so this is. I know. See, I didn't know that.
I think
so. They have officially labeled it final season.
I thought there was a possibility that there could be one more.
I'd love that, but I didn't. I don't know. Maybe we need to Google on this. But I thought this was the last one.
I think if they were performing, I think there would be another. But
TV by the numbers. The last time I looked, had them on the bubble, which means they may or may not get canceled.
Yeah, so that's what I've seen.
Is official, but the unofficial official word is that hey, four seasons. We don't want to get yelled at like from Firefly because nobody's gonna ever, you know, let us live that down. So we're gonna try and give this as many as we can. Still not good enough.
See, and it's always weird when shows get canceled after just four seasons. It does happen from time to time, but it's always weird. Just in that when you do five seasons, you hit that magic 100 number for syndication. Mm-hmm. And so it's always and they would hit that number if they did a season five, hit that magic 100. And so it's a show has to be in a weird place to get canceled at season four because the network is giving up that opportunity for the syndication rights and all that. So
that makes sense. But I mean, there was such an uproar about we may not have gotten this season that I thought, you know, Fox was just kind of like, look, we're going to give you this one. Get off our backs. I thought this was the one where they said, here, this your last, you know, your last season. Not that we're going to support. But I hope it is. I'm just going with it.
And if they knew that this is going to be their last season, this is not the way. Like, this is not the time for a lull.
Assuming they don't have some crazy crescendo planned.
Yeah,
because you know,
They do get pretty crazy, though. Mm-hmm. So yeah. They can do it.
And it really stinks that, you know, they're advertising the next episode this Friday as, like, the, what do you call it, the fall finale or whatever.
Oh, man.
Oh, so yeah, it is.
So there's going to be, you know, a mini hiatus, you know, as series do these days.
Always does well for a series, that hiatus. That nothing really solidifies your audience like disappearing for months on end.
So there we go. I don't know. But the one little thing, one little niggle, since they're exploring this idea of, you know, a world without Peter, I'm just a little curious, like, where's his name, Agent Charlie?
Yeah.
Scarface.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, I guess it's because maybe because the actor is now, you know, in one of the new cop dramas on one of the other networks. I don't know if that's taking up his time or something, but it just seems a little strange. He seems, you know, strangely absent, especially when he
was... What do you mean? Because they haven't been over to the other... Oh, they went to the other universe the one time, but if they're not over there, why would they bring back Charlie? He's dead in our universe.
He's dead in our universe. Where Peter existed.
Right.
We're not in that universe.
Yes, right. We are. Wait. Because they brought back Broyles, so you thought that they would...
No, forget about Broyles. Just, I mean, you don't even have to go there. What do you mean? We're not in any... This universe has only existed in Series 4. The one that we're in right now.
Yeah, I get that, but still, so we have the knowledge of the other stuff, so...
Charlie died in the blue universe. Why would he be dead in the yellow...
You know what? I'm agreeing with you, Eric. What I think is he probably is going on to do other projects, and Lincoln was probably who he should was supposed to have been when they wrote the script originally. That he was supposed to be Lincoln, and then they had to kind of, you know, swap somebody out when he wasn't available.
Maybe that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
That feels right, because I would have enjoyed it more with Charlie. Lincoln is just, I don't know.
And yeah, oh man, because if it was Charlie, there would have been that tension between Olivia and him. I mean, like, something could have been starting up between those two.
Oh yeah, that'd have been great.
Lincoln,
he just don't have the, I don't know, there's not the chemistry.
He's already backing down. He's like, oh, Peter's here. Wah, wah. You know, you see him already just starting to move off. And I was like, oh, come on, man. You got to fight for Olivia. It's Olivia. So, yeah, that would have been a little more interesting.
Okay, well.
And, of course, you know, the obvious question, you know, that Eric and I probably are wondering.
Oh.
Stop it every time.
I was going to say it a second ago.
You know, I mean, if we're talking about ages that need to come back on Friends, where was Jessup? She was only there for a couple episodes, but I felt moved by her performance. I'm telling you, there's something about her that just brought an extra flavor, shall we say, to the Fringe experience that I'm just waiting. I'm still waiting for her to come back.
Absolutely. My candle is still lit.
yes, right.
With Hugh's absence, it seems like Agent Jessup would flourish more and have, you know, be more needed on the Fringe team.
I need her.
She's going nowhere fast.
What do you mean? She's like,
okay, you know what? How about, since I have you guys here and we kind of talked about it a little bit, let's go to Grimm, because I'm really curious to see what is it that you like about this show. When I like Supernatural, and I have Supernatural already. Hunters, Supernatural being, same show without the cute guys.
Yeah, I think they do a better job of... let me finish. I'm not going to compare it to Supernatural. What I'm saying is I think they do a better job of rehashing, you know, fairy tales than... what's the other one? Once Upon a Time? Or what's the other one called?
Once Upon a Time.
I mean, in terms of, you know...
Once Upon a Time has the costuming and the evil witch and the...
That's pretty, and it's fairy book, and it's cute and all, but I like the edgier part of Grimm a whole lot more. I think it's darker.
They got the ugly guys on there, and you don't fit. What? I mean, I understand. I like the pretty with the other show.
Well, okay. I'm not sure what that means. Let me just try it one more time. I really like the darker... The darker sort of detective feel of Grimm. I like the sarcastic edge of, I mean, certainly the Wolfman dude. I mean, he is my absolute favorite on the show. But I think what they're doing with the characters that we think we've known throughout history or whatnot, that is a little bit more fun, dark, and interesting on Grimm than it is on Once Upon a Time. Because I agree, the costuming is spectacular. The women are beautiful on Once Upon a Time. I mean, everybody. I'm like, hey, that's a great place to hang out. But it's a little too heavy-handed on Once Upon a Time. It's a little too candy on that, where it just it doesn't quite click with me yet. So I watch it and I agree that, but Grimm is, it's so much more fun. I mean,
it's like just CSI with supernatural stuff.
Yeah, but not without all the cool CSI tech though. I mean, it's a detective show. It's a detective. Yeah, it's a cop detective show. So, but they brought something new to it. I'm not a big fan of detective cop shows, but you know what they're doing is definitely unique, and the way they're executing it is a lot of fun.
They do it on Supernatural. Like they instead Supernatural did the urban legends. They didn't do fairy tales. So I don't see the difference, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I see the difference. There's a difference. Instead of being called hunters, they're called Grimms, which are hunters, and they're still hunted mythical supernatural beat.
It's all about the mood and how they're pulling this stuff off, because you know I don't compare Supernatural to Grimm, really. I mean, when I watch the shows for different reasons, and I very much enjoy Supernatural. I still prefer Supernatural, actually, right now, if I was to compare the two. But again, I'm saying I'm always looking for something new that's on TV. Yeah. And this to be a new series, they're really doing new stuff on this show, and it's fun to see that. And again, I don't really know what's going to happen when I'm watching the show.
It's gonna That's get a very canceled. Unique thing.
I don't think it's going to be canceled, unfortunately.
So. It's on NBC. What did they cancel? Journeyman, Bionic Woman, Earth 2.
Well, come on, don't you start. But you know I'm hating on Journeyman. But the others, they kind of had it coming. Yeah,
Knight Rider.
Oh, please. Don't even start that.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe this one will stick. I think I'm a little negative on it because NBC had a bad Trek Surface. You know, they had a whole bunch of shows that they try to get in there with science fiction, but they axe them. So I think I have a bad attitude about this one because I don't want to get too attached to it because I think it's going to get canceled.
I don't think it's going to get canceled.
I don't either. One, because it's...
I hope not. I hope I'm wrong here.
I think it's cheap to produce, you know, relative to a full-blown sci-fi show. But the other thing is, this has a, quote, broader appeal. Because it's not science fiction, you see. This is more like detective fantasy. And so, therefore, it can relate to a broader audience. That's kind of how you can spin it. But I think, you know, I think an audience that would be afraid of science fiction would jump right in on Grimm. They're like, oh, well, this isn't science fiction. You know, monsters and stuff, that I can believe. But, you know, if they were in space, that would be all fake. You know, I really believe there's a huge, you know, swath of folks that feel that
way. Why has no one yet compared Grimm in this discussion to Twilight?
Because that's why we have you here, man.
because you mentioned all the other connections and why it may have broad appeal, and but I mean it is a very detective-y Twilight show.
Now I will say this, because I've never.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, the second episode of Grimm was New Moon. Like, what are we talking about?
It was the Three Little Bears.
It was the Three Little Bears. It was also the Three Little Team Jacobs.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Come on, how obvious was it with the clan and all their little tribal tattoos and trying to reconnect with their ancestors?
That's fun. Okay, listen, here's the reason why I did not make the connection. I have not seen any Twilight stuff. I haven't read the books, I haven't seen the movies. So I didn't know, but now that you are drawing the parallel, I am starting to get funny.
I think they're trying to capture that similar audience. I mean, that seems obvious to me, and it has, because it's Seattle-y or wherever it is, Northwest based.
Oh yeah,
it has all the Twilight kind of look to it, and all the whole supernatural beings, you know, living amongst us regular folk, you know, beneath our noses. And I think they're just trying to kind of you know, kind of capture that same audience appeal. That's what I think. You know,
yeah, except without all the teenage angst, which is what I'm enjoying about the difference between those.
Yeah,
that's good. I didn't even think about that, but there you go. Yeah, I can buy that. I can buy that.
Whatever.
Cat unconvinced. I think you
it's
know
just
what.
Just one episode. It's not like they do that in every episode.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying they do, but they still. I think they're still. Again.
No, I agree with
you. Trying to get the same audience. They're not trying to recreate Twilight. No, not by a long shot.
But they probably should. They get more viewers.
Well, see, I think that Kat, you've got a hating on the Grimm because they pitted it exactly against Supernatural on the same night. You know,
and
trying to steal audience. I mean, that I find frustrating. I really find it, you know, annoying that the shows that clearly the same demographics of folks will like, the networks insist on pitting us against one another like that. I mean, that's just like Big Bang Theory and Community. You know, what's up with that? Really, you guys couldn't stagger those shows just a half an hour so I wouldn't have to DVR one and get all that confusion. But if they're going to do that, you know,
Community comes first.
I'm just saying that, you know. For them to only have, seriously, you know, like two shows that folks would be watching out of the whole week of lineup of programming, but then to try to jam them in at the same time, super annoying.
I know, because Friday has Supernatural, Grimm, it's Fringe on Friday, you have Sanctuary.
Seen Sanctuary in the new. Is the new series out? The new season out?
Yeah, dude, you like missed two seasons.
I haven't even seen it. When is it? Must be on the same time as like
it everything. Comes on 9 o'clock at Friday. Well, 10 o'clock for you.
Really? See that, man? I have totally missed it. I have totally missed Sanctuary because I was trying to juggle the other shows. And you say it's cool, but not missing anything. Why?
Well, no, I just don't think that a lot of people will get Sanctuary because it is all over the place. But I think it's all over the place in a way that, for some reason, I still like it.
Oh, I gotta go back.
Because they really did not do that crazy Bollywood stuff anymore or whatever they were doing. You know, that one thing, that one season finale that we really hated.
Release the Kraken!
Yeah, they didn't do that anymore, and they kind of just keep with anything. You know, keep with the story and the myth about the Tesla and Jack the Ripper and stuff like that. And they do different things every episode, every week.
Okay.
But there's a thread there that you can enjoy if you love Helen Magnus and stuff like that. So you really have to be a fan if you want
to. I was willing to give it another shot. It's just that I totally missed that the new season had begun. And, you know, I like the whole, you know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen phase of it.
They don't bring it in enough for my taste, but no. When they do, it is pretty good. But they have some other things going on in there. They had a chick from Capricorn there, Patty, or what is her name?
I don't know who was she?
The Angry Nun.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
was in there. I don't remember her name, but yeah, she was in there for a while being mean, so it was delightful.
Cool. Okay. Cool.
But sorry. Yeah, that's Friday night science fiction, guys. You don't catch Sanctuary, I guess, Eric.
Oh God, you don't want me to comment on that.
Go ahead. Let's hear.
No. I absolutely.
We haven't heard your
war the show. No.
Really?
Oh God, it's so. It's so on my hated list, and it should have been canceled 2-3 seasons ago. And like I look at its ratings compared to the other shows that we've been talking about, it shouldn't even be mentioned. It's down there with Chuck right now. I don't mean it how I feel about it. Actually, I feel ambivalence for both, but in terms of numbers and viewers, like they shouldn't even be mentioned. They're both of those shows, Chuck and especially Supernatural, their rings are abysmal right now. I think you guys are the ones keeping it going. I mean, I think.
Do you mean Chuck or Sanctuary? Because you said Supernatural.
I'm sorry. Well, no, Chuck and Supernatural at the bottom, but even Supernatural is even lower.
Sanctuary, right?
He's actually saying Supernatural. That's why I had to double check.
Supernatural?
Supernatural.
You hate that?
Yes, what?
I'm talking about Sanctuary. Do you know
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sanctuary?
I'm sorry, my streams got crossed. Okay.
Sanctuary with Amanda Tapping.
Yeah, okay. I
That's
don't.
what you're talking about, right? You're not talking about
Right.
Supernatural.
Sorry.
You hate
Thank you.
Supernatural with the two brothers?
Yes, I hate Supernatural.
Wait a sec. Okay, so
Yes.
wait.
Sorry,
Sorry,
I
I got
got
my
my streams
Sanctuary
crossed.
and Supernatural.
Okay.
That's something.
So which one are you talking about? Do you hate them both? I got confused. Are
No,
you?
no. I know. I got confused first, but
Okay,
no,
so
I
just.
hate Supernatural.
Okay.
Sanctuary, I know not much opinion.
Man,
Like no opinion.
that's surprising. I'm surprised that you hate Supernatural though, because that's at least it's unique.
And
Oh,
it's
I'll give it
funny.
that. I'll give it that. I'll give it that. But like when I was talking about the ratings, yeah, I was referring to Supernatural, and it's so abysmally down there. I can't believe it's on the air still. It had its
I'm gonna
moment.
have to ask you to shut your mouth.
Just hey.
We can't talk like that on this show.
Kat, I hear Kat
Saying.
cocking the shotgun, right? Is it
Get
I don't see
off my property.
I don't see how I could be alone on this. I mean, maybe with you guys, but I mean, in general, it's.
Like,
Oh.
what? I mean, they're funny. Do you don't think they're funny? You don't like it, and you like Grimm though. It's the same show.
No, I don't like Grimm. What? I never said I liked Grimm.
Oh, well, that was, I guess it was Carl with the love on for Grimm, and
I
he's
do. I
the
like the Grimm. I like Grimm. Yes, indeed.
But I'd rather watch Grimm than Supernatural. That's for certain.
Oh, there, it's just, I don't understand you two today. Maybe I'll call
What?
you tomorrow and y'all
But
have better.
again, it's not like I'm voicing some maverick opinion on Supernatural. It's
It is Maverick.
not. Maybe in this room it's maverick, but not in the whole genre world. It's
People
not
giving
maverick
it
at
a
all.
chance. I don't think you've given it a
You
chance.
seen its rating? It's like 1.2 or something.
Listen, ratings have nothing to do with the quality of a program, so you can't use ratings. Have you? How many episodes
Firefly.
have you seen? How many episodes
No,
have you seen?
I've only seen maybe 2 episodes in
No
different
way.
seasons. Yeah,
No.
okay. So
No.
you got to give
Opinion
it more of a fair
invalid.
shot. I'm agree with Kat, because that's another one. Kat was talking about it a lot. I was like, well, let me give it a shot. And it took me a couple of episodes to kind of get it. But once I was there, I mean, I really, really liked it.
Drinking drinks with the angel of the episode and calling
Yes, I was clubbing with the new god. It's.
No, because no, because to me, it's like, can I get even more
Go ahead.
sci-fi sacrilegious?
Now you got
Can I
two
get
episodes.
even more sci-fi
You got two
sacrilegious?
episodes under your belt here, so
Because
keep in mind this is going to be a tenuous point you're making, is what I'm
no,
saying.
because
There's not enough cute girls for him.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. What you got?
No, because I know I have not taken a large sample of Supernatural, and I get that, and but at the same time, I think it is one of those shows, and there's I'm going to name some others and probably get slammed even worse for those, but that it's a cult show within a cult genre, and the people who really like it, who get it, really like it, and that's fine, and it makes sense, if you've been invested in the show, but it definitely doesn't and shouldn't have like the broad appeal that other genre shows may have, and this is where I get more sacrilegious, because
You're gonna do it, aren't you?
I don't
I
know
know
what
you're
it
gonna do
is. I don't know what it
it.
is.
But you're gonna do it, and we're gonna fight. I
Let
know
him hear it.
right.
Well, yeah, let the man
Because
finish.
I
Go
can
ahead.
feel it. I can feel
Because if
it.
we were talking about another series, another beloved series, I could see the same thing happening as what I'm saying with Supernatural, and that is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay, you didn't go where I think you were gonna
Okay, I don't know where you thought I was going, but with Buffy, I like that
Can't
show.
you love
I didn't watch the entire series, but I watched the first 5 seasons or whatever in total.
Season 6 was the best.
So you say. But like with that show, I could totally understand someone coming into it, maybe sampling some episodes and going, you know what, this is really not for me, or I don't really want to invest the time. Yes, maybe if they did take in, substantial chunks, they would become a fan of it and, become a cult fan of it like everyone else. But it's just, is it really worth the investment? Is it really? And to me, it's like.
Okay, well, hang on. Eric, where you live? Where do you live?
San Antonio.
What? Oh, see, this don't make no sense now. I don't. Because look, there is a whole kind of like a country boy fun. to Supernatural. That, you know, especially if you're kind of
Eric
Southern.
Eric is a snob. That doesn't
have a... No, because you might have fun. I'm serious. You know, there is a whole kind of, you know, shotgun, you know, pick up driving kind of fun to the series that I love. I really like that, and I agree that, you know, that's a, it's a different kind of audience for what this show may be trying to do. But that's, again, what makes it unique and what makes it fun and what makes it interesting. But so, you know, do you have a thing against shotguns? Is that what you don't like that?
He don't like muscle cars.
You don't like muscle cars.
He don't like when they say, carry on my wayward son.
I'm doing the head pump right now.
Yeah, I wish you guys could take yourselves out of your heads as Supernatural fans.
Oh.
The head of someone who's not, because then you would really get it. Because we could be talking about Buffy or something else, and you'd be like, because when you throw all that inside jokey stuff, it's just like,
inside joke. What are you talking about?
You know how you tried to sell me on Glee, and for a long time I was like, I don't want to watch it. I don't blah, blah, blah. I didn't sample a couple of episodes. I trusted your judgment enough. I looked at some of the things that you watch, some of the things that you go on about. And I gave it a shot, and I liked it because it was a little bit fun. It wasn't my thing ever, but I could see the good in Glee. I think what you're doing is you're not giving it the same chance that you've given other shows, because it doesn't automatically appeal to you, and you haven't haven't given your soul over to
no, because there are
the liking of it. You're not giving it a good chance or a fair chance.
No, there are certain shows that just have a certain chumminess about them. They're a little bit too smug with themselves, and it's usually shows that have been on for, you know, a while longer already, you know, deeper into their runs, and that is really off-putting, definitely, on in of itself, even if there may be plenty of other good elements. Because had I done the same thing with Buffy and I jumped in like season 5 and had never seen anything else of the show at that point, I'm pretty sure I would do the same thing to Buffy as I am doing now to Supernatural. And I'd be perfectly okay with it. As amazing as Buffy is, when you judge it as a whole and you put it into its context of its time on television, I'd be perfectly fine with myself for completely disregarding it if I came in on it at a bad time in the show's run or not a good time to start. And I'm okay. I could live with that if I did have done it to Buffy. And, you know, I feel the same way about this show. Or I think, you know, I could see how I could like it and, you know, enjoy it. But at the same time, it's just,
I don't get it, man. Because like I tell you, I don't have, like, you know, a radical fandom about, you know, about Supernatural. I really do appreciate it, and I can, you know, take my mind out of the fandom like you're claiming and look at it as a you know, sort of an odd show. But I don't get the hate. I don't understand how, you know, there's so much about it that resonates. They do have a lot of inside jokes, but each episode has a more bottle component than something like Fringe, which we watch quite regularly. And at that, I can imagine someone being new to the series having a hard time getting involved with. But Supernatural, you know, shotguns and monsters. That's kind of hard to bottle up and to make hard to be approachable. But hey, I don't know, man. You probably just got two bad episodes.
Like Supernatural shows, Eric? Because both of those, Buffy, they're both. Do you not like
WB? And Grimm?
Well, WB ish shows? Because I think.
Oh, I definitely don't like WB ish.
He doesn't like WB. Okay. I think that's what it is, because both of those shows are WB UPN type shows.
Yeah, because even Smallville, which it definitely fits that ilk, you know. Mm-hmm. I really like that show too, of course, and I've, you know, hung in there with that show, but God, I get weary even for the same reasons as all these other shows we just mentioned, because of the WB-ishness. Yeah, I get really weary.
They do have a certain style, so I can see how that may not appeal to people, but I don't know. I think did a rewatch, I think if you just accept the characters for who they are, get into the, I guess, the rhythm of their jokes and how they speak and stuff like that.
Catch a couple early Castiel episodes.
And you mentioned Glee too. If Glee keeps going the way it's going right now,
it's
doing the same thing as what I'm describing with all these other shows. Glee is going into this territory I'm talking about where everything's a bit too glib and everything is too, like, for the in crowd, you know, for the diehards, and it's
I found a whole new season depressing. Seriously, everybody's fighting, the gang ain't together, the people acting bad, there's no romance anymore. It's just bad. Yeah,
that show's not clicking for me either right now. Like,
okay.
Reminds me when Ugly Betty was going down in quality, but anyway.
Did you just admit to watching Ugly Betty on this show?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to.
You gave me a hard time when I said the same thing. I used to watch Ugly Betty.
Huh.
Yeah, yes. But it did the same thing too, is what I'm talking about. Again,
well,
like
but
it seemed much more interesting and compelling, right? You know, at the gate, and then it just turned into the whole, like, I don't know.
Kind of cheated toward the end, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then, guys, then.
It pulled the heroes. It pulled out just like all these other shows.
Oh, it pulled the heroes?
Nothing pulled the heroes, all right? Only heroes pulled the heroes.
What's the most epic example, I guess?
Yes, it was superhero caliber.
The flame that shines brightest or whatever.
That was so sad. So sad.
Always a hero's dig. Every episode, I think.
I'm one sad hobo.
Oh, sad hobo. Okay, well, any last thoughts, guys, or what people should be watching or not or whatever?
Just survive. Hang in there, people. Science fiction is coming back to television. We know it. Keep hope alive.
You are so silly, Eric.
I don't know. I'm waiting for a new Star Trek series based on the new movie universe. That's what I'm waiting for.
Has there been a rumor or news?
Absolutely not. I just still think it's going to happen.
Oh.
I think it's going to happen. Meh. Mm. 2 years from now.
It'll feel good to have Star Trek back on TV again.
Yeah.
We live in the dark times. Anyway, guys, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline or send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woo.
End of line.